بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Zaytun Institute presents Monthly Reflections with أستاذ يحيى رودز.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Jami', the one who has gathered us here, tabarak wa ta'ala, on this most beautiful day, the day of Jum'ah, which Al-Jami', Al-Jum'ah comes from this Jam'ah and this gathering. This is the gathering day of the believers, the festival day of the believers that comes once a week. And it's a chance for us to renew our faith, and it's a chance for us to renew our iman, and it's a chance for us to renew our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this relationship that the servant has with his Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, this is the most important thing that the individual can focus upon in his life. When we see a lot of the things that are happening in the world today, and especially with the advent of the radio and the television, all these different things that we're hearing on the news, all these different things that we're seeing, all these different images that are entering into the channels of our heart, that in many cases you find a lot of these things will preoccupy the individual with what he's been created for. Many of these things that the human being doesn't have the ability to remain firm, that he'll be so preoccupied and overwhelmed by what he hears and sees, that he'll forget why he was created. He'll forget what is his duty to be doing upon this earth. And this is why that is from the level and it is from the aspects of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they have the ability that in spite of everything that they see, in spite of everything that they hear, to remain firm upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked of them. And the greatest example of that is the example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of his different affairs, such that we see him sometimes being only moments between these different states of his, going from military leader to having children ride upon his back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going from an individual who makes a decision that when he speaks it's going to be revelation until Yawm al-Qiyamah, then going to running with Sayyidah Aisha. And so we see in the states of the Messenger of Allah, the times where you have to have the most extreme seriousness, to the times where he was as gentle as a human being could possibly be, and everything in between. And this is what is demanded from a believer, is that when he is involved, whatever it be actively or passively, with what is taking place in the earth, that he not let these things that are taking place affect him. Affect him in a negative way. They should affect the individual in a positive way. But unfortunately, most people, that when they see a particular thing happen, that because of lack of knowledge and of lack of action and state, and spiritual state that they have, that they'll just fall right into whatever is being said. If they're talking about the tsunami, that's the only thing that they're talking about all throughout their day. If it's the earthquake in Kashmir, that's the only thing they're talking about through the day. But where are the individuals that have the prophetic concern of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even if something's not shown in the news, that even if they don't have an ability to hear about it or see it, that this concern still lies upon their hearts. These are the individuals that when these things do happen, that they only increase them in concern. And you find other people that, for instance, when the Pope said what he said, that you'll find that they will just be reactive people. And they'll react in ways that are inappropriate, the way for a Muslim to act. Not thinking about the underlying purposes about why this all happened in the first place. Not having this self-reflection and asking themselves that what are the Muslims doing to allow people to say these type of things. And the same thing with the Danish cartoons. So you'll find a lot of people just being reactionary. That whatever goes on, that they'll just react to what is taking place. But it's from here that we must understand that we as believers who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have to be people that affect other people and not are affected in a negative way by what goes on amongst us. This was the way of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he had the ability to affect other people and that he would be able to be firm enough not to be affected by them in a negative way. This is how many people came into the presence of our Prophet ﷺ. And as a result of being in that presence, that they left different people. How many people came at him that if they would have come at any of us with a slight percentage of what they came at him with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we would just change and become entirely different people. If someone came up to you trying to take your life, which is the most precious thing that we have, is our nafs, which is between the two sides. Right? Coming from nafis is precious, is to be precious. Then what would one of us do if we knew someone tried to take our own lives? Right? Would we be able to smile? Can you imagine someone smiling like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when this took place? But the point is that we are individuals who Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us to be people who believe in revelation. That we believe that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys a message to us by means of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a great honor it is for us to be believers and to be able to have these certainties in our heart, which so many people have not been given throughout the centuries, in particular in this day and age, where people are debating these issues. But as believers, we have this sukoon and this tranquility and this serenity that comes from believing in La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah, from believing in the Akhirah, from believing in the justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ultimately going to give in a way to compensate for a lot of these things that we see happening around us. And so what is desired from a believer is not to be ignorant of what is going on in the earth. But a believer should know his time. A believer should know and understand the world that he lives in. A believer should understand the surroundings that he finds himself in. But a believer should also remain firm and not be negatively affected by the surroundings that he's in. And also, a believer should never forget why he's been created. And you should not forget why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. And if someone asked you that, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the heavens and the earth? What would be our response? Seeming that this is the most fundamental thing that we all human beings should be worried about. We should have an answer. We should be able to answer. If we can't answer the most fundamental questions, what about the more subtle questions? And Imam al-Ghazali has a beautiful exposition of the path that an individual takes to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of one of his famous books, Minhaj al-Abideen, the path of the worshippers, the minhaj, the methodology of the people of worship. And Imam al-Ghazali starts this book and he talks about the greatness of ibadah. And he talks about how worship is the fruit of knowledge and how this is what is sought of for the righteous people. This is what is the end of the path of an individual after he goes through all the preliminary stages that he is ultimately in a state of worship of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of his different states, outwardly and inwardly. And he goes on to talk about that and say that the entire heavens and the earth has been created for knowledge and worship. And he said the only reason the messengers were sent to humanity was for knowledge and worship. Everything that we see going on around us, every book that was written by the rightly guided scholars, all gets back to these two principles of knowledge and worship. And he brings a proof of that from the Quran. As for worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which is a verse we've all known, we've all memorized, مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn or mankind except that they may worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin. Allah is the one that created the seven heavens. Wa min al-ardi mithluhunna. And the same number of earths. Yatanazzalu al-amru baynahunna. That His decree or affair will descend between them. What does Allah say? لِتَعْلَمُوا لَامُ التَّعْلِيلِ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. In order that you may know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. So Allah ta'ala mentions the creation of the seven heavens, the creation of the seven earths, and the descending of His affair or command between them, what? لِتَعْلَمُوا. In order that you may know, being a proof that this all was created for knowledge. أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. That you may know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, and Allah Ta'ala has all-encompassing knowledge, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we find here a proof even in the Qur'an to substantiate this. That everything that we see was created for knowledge and ibadah. Knowledge and ibadah. This should be the core of our lives. From the time that we wake up in the morning to the time that we sleep, as the weeks and the months and the years pass by, what is our nasib and our portion of this knowledge and worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the entire world for? That we should be people that understand the importance of this. We should be people that strive in our daily affairs to always increase in knowledge, to always to increase in ibadah. And both of them, they're mutalaziman, that they go hand in hand. That you can't have true worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without knowledge. Nor can you have true knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without worship. And because of this reason, this is why our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ilmu imam al-amal. That knowledge is the imam of action. وَهُوَ تَابِعُهُ. An action follows knowledge. So without proper knowledge, that a person's ibadah is not going to be accepted. But without ibadah, then a person is never going to be able to ultimately implement his knowledge. And so we find that this is what our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has left behind us. He's left behind us a tradition and a path for us to get close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this path of seeking this ibadah through knowledge, which it begins with knowledge, and it leads to ibadah, but then there's another type of knowledge that comes after an individual establishes the ibadah, after a person implements the sharia, and after he is constantly worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that he should, that there's another type of knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this individual that is directly from His presence. This is a type of knowledge that an individual will be inspired with. This is the type of knowledge that individuals who receive that are people of righteousness, that are people who have implemented the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise known as ulum al-dunya, knowledge is from the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا. As Allah says about Khidr, that we taught him knowledge is from our presence. اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. That fear Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you. Establishing the fearing of Allah with taqwa is related to knowledge and implementation of that ibadah. But after that one individual does that, the fruit that comes from that is knowledge is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding why things were created. Understanding the wisdoms behind creation. Understanding the different things that are happening outwardly, how the reflections of the divine attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the path that unfortunately they don't talk too much about on the radio or the TV. We live in a day and time and age where people are distracted. People are amusing themselves to death, as Neil Postman chose to title his book. That they're being so entertained with things that they've forgotten their fundamental aspect of their lives. They've forgotten these few things that are like johar. Johar can mean essence, but it's also a treasure. Meaning that the true treasure is related to the essence of an individual. It's when we can extract this academic potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in each and one of our hearts. When we dig down deep here and we find what's truly there, this is when we will truly find the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So Imam al-Ghazali mentions in this book that is titled Minhaj al-Amidin, he sums it up in this first introduction about how an individual can get close to Allah. And he has this incredible ability to summarize things and to bring them close to our understanding. Things that seem so far-fetched that he can make them so clear at the same time. And he talks about in this book seven different obstacles that a human being goes through. And the first obstacle that he says is what's called aqabat al-ilm. Is the obstacle of knowledge, in obtaining knowledge. And just before this he talks about how that an individual is only going to be blessed to take this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he has what's called a khatratin samawiyya. That if he has this divine notion come to his heart, if he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expand his breast. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, where he talks about the person, he's expanded his breast for huwa ala nur min rabbih. That this individual, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. This individual that Allah has expanded, شَرَحَ,
sadru, his breast or his chest to Islam, that he is upon light from his Lord. And we see a similar meaning in the hadith of our Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet said, he said, An-nur idha dakhala al-qalb infasaha wa insharah. That light, if it enters into the heart of an individual, that it will infasaha wa insharah. That it will expand and become open. And then they asked the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, وَهَلْ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَلَامَةٍ. That is there a sign for this? Right? That if someone claims that their heart has been opened and that their heart has been expanded, what is the proof of their claim? And the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he said, Naam, yes. He said, At-tajafi an dar al-ghururi. He said that you turn away from the abode of deception, meaning this world. It's deceptive in its nature, it's real, but it's deceptive. It is the farmland for the next world, but it's deceptive for people that think that it's going to last forever. He said, "At-tajafi an dar al-ghurur wal-inabatu ila dar al-khulud." In returning to the abode of the everlasting abode, the abode that will never end, meaning that of the next world, that of paradise. وَالِاسْتِعْدَادِ مَا قَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ. These are the three signs. That if a person, individual, if an individual's heart has become expanded with the light of Allah, that he'll turn away from the dunya, that he'll strive towards the akhirah, and that he will start preparing for his death. He'll start preparing for this moment that is so certain that even though yaqeen is not one of the names of death, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used yaqeen to describe death in the Qur'an. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَتِيقَ الْيَقِينَ. Worship your Lord until certainty will come to you. But certainty here, the Mufassirin say, is death. Worship your Lord until death comes to you. Don't ever worship your Lord. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. That if you finish one type of ibadah, fansab, right? Start another type of ibadah. وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. Right? And desire your Lord. Turn to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something we have absolute yaqeen of. That every single one of us is going to pass away. And how many people have made their tawbah because of this? How many people have made their tawbah because of a near-death experience? Because of a death in the family? And this is why this is one of the most important things for us to think about. Because it causes us to change our lives. It causes us to prepare for that which is really important. Because an individual, as long as he's not focusing on what's really important, you'll find him doing all types of things that in reality harming him when he thinks that he's bringing benefit to himself. So this is the first obstacle, is the aqabat al-ilm that comes to this individual after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his breast. And he's decided to take a path to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what's upon him is to learn proper knowledge. To have the proper understanding of what we attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What are the necessary attributes of Allah ta'ala? What is impossible for us to believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because there's a lot of people out there that are very devoted. There's many people of different faiths that are very devoted. But if their devotion is not based upon a proper understanding, that what is the benefit of that devotion? And after knowing what we need to attribute to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that we also need to know what is necessary to know and related to our interactions. And also in terms of our ibadat, in our forms of worship. That this is the aqaba of ilm, in attaining this knowledge of what we need to know. And it can and be summarized as a knowledge of our belief, a knowledge of our outward worship, and a knowledge of the attributes that are necessary of the heart. And many people forget this last type of knowledge. Many people think that knowledge is only outward, forgetting that there's a type of obligatory knowledge that all of us must know. We must know how to purify our hearts. We must know how to rid our hearts of arrogance. We must know how to rid our hearts of envy. We must know how to rid our hearts of rancor. We must know how to rid our hearts of miserliness. And all these different attributes of the hearts. Because if we don't study them, that we'll be doing them and not even realize. That how many people in the Muslim community have cut their family relations. Something happens to them. And they might in the right and the other people might be in the wrong. But if you don't understand what hiqd is, and it's that it's idmar su al ghayr, and that you're hiding something in the depths of your heart against someone else, that you might have hiqd wa'udhu billah in your heart for many people, not even realize, sometimes even from your own family. And the same thing with hasad. That when we have to understand that Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed envy will eat your good deeds as fire eats wood. And so someone might be in the masjid and they may be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if they have envy, his deeds are getting eaten up. And we should especially reflect upon arrogance. Because our Prophet ﷺ said that لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانِ فِي قَلْبِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ, that no one will enter into a paradise who has a مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, an atom's weight of arrogance in their heart. And so this is why this is important to overcome this aqaba of knowledge. But he goes on to say that after someone learns what is necessary for him to learn, and he takes this path, ultimately trying to be in a state of ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there'll be another obstacle that comes to him. This is the aqabat at-tawbah. That once he learns what he needs to learn, and the more we learn, the more we realize how much we really disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he'll need to have what's called the aqabat at-tawbah, the obstacle of repentance, and of realizing that we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. And Abu Ishaq al-Isfarini, one of the great Shafi scholars of the third Islamic century, that he said, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 years for a tawbah nasuh, right? For a sincere tawbah. 30 years. And he said, to the point that it came to my heart, what is this that I've been asking for 30 years that I haven't even attained it? 30 years I've been asking, I haven't attained it. Then he saw a dream. And someone came to him and told him a dream. He said, Ya hadha. He said, do you realize what you're asking? He said, do you know what you're asking for? He said, you're asking to become beloved to Allah. Because Allah says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Allah loves the people of tawbah who constantly turn to Him in repentance. And Allah loves the people who are trying to purify Himself. He said, so you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become beloved to Allah. So don't think 30 years is a lot to attain that. Right? Because the whole point is that there's people that are beloved to Allah, and there's people that yattahabbab, are trying to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by having love for Allah. But the higher rank of the two is to become mahbub and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the rank of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the Habib Allah. He is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And related to the expansion of the breasts, which is the whole topic of what we're talking about today, that Moses asked Allah, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي, right, which is a high maqam, and a high rank. Oh Lord of mine, oh Lord, expand my breasts. But when it comes to the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, right, did we not expand your breast? Right, the Prophet ﷺ didn't even have to ask. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ, have we not expanded your breasts? In the Laylat Isra wal Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ passed the seven heavens and extended past the Sidratul Muntaha, where no one else could go, even Jibreel had to stop at that point, that when Moses alayhi salam was called to Wadi Tuwa, the Valley of Tuwa, what did Allah Ta'ala say to him? Right? فَقْلَعْنَا لَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِوَادِ الْمُقَدِّسِ طُوَى, right? Take off your two sandals, right? Because you're in the holy valley of Tuwa. But when the Prophet ﷺ ascended past the seven heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't ask him to take off his two sandals. Right? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ had this maqam of mahmubiyah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the maqam of tawbah and the aqabat at-tawbah, the obstacle of turning to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and asking Him to forgive one for what was once done in the past. And so then it comes to then a third aqabah, which is the aqabat al-awaiq. So if an individual now, Allah Ta'ala has blessed to have in his heart a desire to get close to Allah, and he's learned the basic knowledge that he needs to know. And he's made a tawbah for everything that he's that's past. And he's actively trying to not return to any of those sins. And the next thing that will come to him is different type of obstacles. There's different things that will try to come and stop him in his path. Some of them will be related to dunya. Some of them will be related to other aspects of creation. Some of them will be related to the shaitan. And other of them will be related to his nafs. That these are the four enemies of the individual. And unfortunately, you hear Muslims nowadays talking a lot about the enemies of Islam. And that's fine to make dua against the enemies of Islam. But which one of us has thought about in our nights and days of who the true enemies are? The Prophet ﷺ is narrated that he said, "A'dal 'adi," the worst of your enemies is who? Nafsuka allati bayna jambayk, your own soul that is between your two sides. That no one doubts that there's enemies of Islam. This is not something new. They've been there since the first prophets. There's been people that have opposed people of belief. There's been people since the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. In all the different centuries, there's people that oppose Islam. But our worst enemy is our own soul that is between our two sides. Our own soul that calls us to evil. Because it is in reality only to the extent that we respond to the calls of our lower soul will be to the extent that the enemies have an ability to get over us individually. And likewise on the level of the entire ummah. Only to the extent that the ummah as a whole responds to the calls of their lower soul will be to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts people over them and allows the enemies of Islam to get something from them. So these are the four things that will come to him then. That it will come in the form of dunya. And the way to overcome this obstacle of dunya is to have, the way to overcome the obstacle of dunya is to have taqallal of it. Is that an individual only takes what he needs from it. Is that he sees that dunya is a means for something. Right? That none of us are able to do what the previous people did. One of the statements of Umar ibn al-Khattab is, he said that we used to leave 9/10 of the permissible things out of fear of falling into the haram. That's the maqam of the Sahaba. Right? They thought water and dates was excessiveness. That was their maqam. They used to leave 9/10 of the permissible, let alone the makruhat, let alone the muharramat. And then that we take dunya as a means, that if when we have intention behind it, that if we take a portion of the dunya, if we wear nice clothes, and anything of these type of things, having cars, living in nice homes, that we should have intention behind it. And if we have intention behind it, and we take what we need, that we'll be protected from the negative aspects of it. And in terms of then also the khalq, the other type of outward enemies, there'll be people that try to stop one from the path. There'll be people who will try to preoccupy them with other things. And this is why we have to be around good people. We have to be around good people that will raise our spiritual state. We have to be around people that remember us of Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked about who the awliya of Allah were, he said, إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. The awliya of Allah are those people, if they're seen, that Allah is remembered. There's certain people when you just come into their presence and you're more God conscious. And you start to think about your akhirah. You start to think about what's really important. These are the people we should strive to be around. And they're here. They're around. And then related to shaitan. And there's a way to study the different inroads of shaitan. But ultimately, right? Ultimately, the plot of shaitan is weak. إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. The plot of shaitan is ultimately weak. But it's weak for the people that are strong. Not in and of themselves, people that have attached their hearts to the qawi, the truly strong tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he'll give them assistance over the shaitan. But you can learn the different inroads that shaitan has to the heart. And after you close those inroads, then shaitan will no longer be able to get into the individual's heart. And then finally the nafs of the individual, which will try to drag him down, which will try to get him to be lazy, which will remind him of all of these things that are, if he believes them, that he'll fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the way to overcome the nafs is by just doing that, remembering the death that we were talking about earlier. Remembering a person's ultimate place that he's going to be residing to. And so when an individual has taken this path, and there's different obstacles that he mentions at a later stage, but this is ultimately why we've been created, is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've been created as individuals to come to know our Lord tabarakah wa ta'ala. And it's unfortunate that there's many people that are preoccupied for whatever it might be from this ultimate purpose that mankind has been created. And that we see that the people that have been successful in this is that people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and people who have attached their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be given one of the greatest things that all human beings are seeking. Every human being is seeking tranquility. Every human being by his nature wants to be in a state where he finds solace. Even people that are atheist, that they have sometimes envy in their hearts for believers because of the certainty that they have. That they want to be like that, but they don't feel like they can. And it is when we can reach this state of equilibrium, such that we find that tranquility, we find that serenity, that we'll be able to attain in the dunya before the akhirah, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He's left for the people of Allah. Because when Allah ta'ala talks about the people of Allah, Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Indeed, the awliya and the friends of Allah, they shall not fear nor shall they grieve. Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those people who believe, right, and used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Right, they will have a bushra, not only in the next world, but لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That they will attain glad tidings in this world before the next. Glad tidings in this world from the different knowledges that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them, the feelings that come to their heart in their witnessing of the divine impact upon creation, and then the bushra in the next world from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to have this khatratin samawiyatin, that by means of it that we set out on a path to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing in all of our different states the importance of ilm and ibadah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all the different types of obstacles and things that are trying to cut us off on that path, such that we die all with a husna khatima, having our last words be La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meeting in a positive state and attaining the pure contentment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
أقول في وصفه ومديحه.
Zaytuna Institute knowledge resources are a means of connecting you to the sacred knowledge being taught and preserved at Zaytuna Institute. Utilizing the latest multimedia distribution formats, these resources serve as a means to facilitate the study, comprehension, and practice of the traditional sciences of Islam for students and seekers around the world. For more information on traditional Islam in America, please contact Zaytuna Institute at 510-582-1979 and on the internet at www.zaytuna.org. Zaytuna.org.